Hey guys, you're listening to Sidebar. Hello, buddies. Welcome back to another episode of Sidebar. Now, I know it's Monday, and I totally, like, flopped. I mean, gosh, this was, like, such a busy weekend. I didn't. So, one, I'm so sorry about this episode coming, not one, but 2 days later than when it's supposed to, and what sucks is that it was St. Patrick's Day, too, and, like, I totally just, like, skipped on the holiday because I had an idea, and then just, like, whoop, school has just grabbed me and threw me for a loop. This week was midterms for me, and so I had quite a bit of studying to do, and it was just, that just kind of took up my whole brain. And then there was a wedding and some traveling, and so yeah, so that's why there wasn't an episode. I had midterms and a wedding to go to, and my brain was just so full, and I just wasn't prepared to get an episode out, so I apologize. But I am looking very forward to next week's episode, because I'm going to make it a good one. We're going to start. One or two things are going to happen. I have to talk to someone first, but yeah, one or two things will happen. Maybe three. No, one or two. Because even at the other, this is me talking to myself. But one or two things will happen. It's for sure going to be kind of like a spooky, eerie episode. It's either we're going to start for next week, start our urban legends of every state. So if you haven't, and you want to share an urban legend from where you're from, like your hometown or home state, country, whatnot, if you got an urban legend you want on the podcast, email it to the podcast at sidebarpodcast505. It is early in the morning for me, and I got my coffee, so try and get this brain working, because I want to get an episode out. But yes, email for the podcast is in the show notes. Again, it is sidebar.podcast505@gmail.com. That's where you can email your urban legends. But yeah, we're either going to do an urban legends episode or a conspiracy theory one, which I started research on both of them, and I just fell down a hole with this one conspiracy theory one that I don't know if I have the stomach to share it on the pod, so we'll see. Which episode will come out next. But yeah, look forward to that. It's going to be one of those episodes. Tonight's drink is coffee. Or I guess you say today's morning drink is coffee. Because you know for a fact that I definitely need a coffee. I'm definitely one of those people where, like, my day doesn't feel like it has fully started until I have had coffee. Or do, like, a walk and stuff. But the weather has been bringing in, like, those spring showers lately. Like, this whole weekend, I was basically just in a foggy bog? No, because I feel like when you say bog, you're implying water. You're by water. But, yeah, it was just, like, all the clouds in the sky decided to just sit right on New Mexico for a whole weekend. So it was cool, but, like, man, oh man, was that intense. Like, I want to say when I was on the road the other day, like, it was pretty scary because you could barely see the car in front of you, let alone any oncoming traffic. And yeah, I've never been in fog like that, you know, like every once in a while, there'll be like, I would say at least once a year, there would just be like this big old fog. It only lasts for like maybe an hour or two, but it'll suddenly like creep along the street. It has even like triggered my doorbell alarm. Like, we have one of those motion active ones where it's like it senses movements and starts recording and stuff. This isn't an ad or anything for security, but get some security for your home. And yeah, but like, we don't, like I said, we're in New Mexico. It's a desert. We don't really got water or anything for like a fog to be rolling in. So it's like desert fog. And I don't know, I feel like it has a different level of eerie. No, maybe not a different level of eerie, but like a different type of eerie, you know, like when I think of like fog rolling in from like the coast, I like my brain goes into like Spooky Doo because of Crystal Cove, you know, where they're from. Which, here's like a random sidebar. Is Crystal Cove like a beach town, or is it just like semi close? Like, where is Crystal Cove for the Scooby Gang? Like, what type of environment it is? Let's look that up. Yeah, okay, so I looked it up, and Crystal Cove is a coastal town. So, like, it is actually, you know, by a coast, which I feel like I should have known from the name, but I felt like I didn't believe it because, like, I feel like you hardly ever see them at, like, the beach. But yeah, residents there believe that it is cursed due to the long history of paranormal activity and legendary monsters for always coming around and making a ruckus. But, is that like, is Crystal Cove like new as in like 2000s and up Scooby-Doo? Or is Crystal Cove like original like back in the 70s? Because that's when Scooby-Doo started, right? When did Scooby-Doo start? Scooby-Doo. Yeah, it was created in 1969. So barely the 60s. But Scooby-Dooby-Doo. Where are you? Don't arrest me, please. But yeah, so are they originally from Crystal Cove? Let's find out. So I'm not seeing anything from like original shows on where they're from, because there's like Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated. There's Scooby-Doo Where Are You? Which, if you have not seen Mystery Incorporated, go watch it. It's a really good rendition of Scooby-Doo. I loved it. And then I showed it to Jordan, which, let's do another shout out to his like freaking amazing cider that he made for the last episode I did with my cousin. That was delicious. But yeah, anyways, so the Mystery Incorporated Scooby-Doo, I want to say that came out like maybe 2015, 2014. And it's a really good Scooby-Doo show. Like, if you're a fan of Scooby-Doo, go watch it. I don't know where you could watch it. I want to say Netflix, but like, let's see. Okay, it didn't come out in 2015, came out in 2010. And you can watch it on Netflix, Max, and Amazon Prime. So go check it out if you have any of those streaming services, because it's really good. And OG Shaggy, Matthew Lillard. He voices Shaggy in it. So definitely go check it out. I think he's the only, when I mean like original Shaggy, I don't mean like original. I mean like from my generation, original Shaggy. Like, I think, how long has he played Shaggy? Matthew Lillard. Let's see. Yeah, so Matthew has been playing Shaggy since at least 2002, you know, in the live action one, where they go to, what was it? Oh my gosh, I'm like totally spacing what it's called. Where was it? Oh my gosh. Here it is, Scooby-Doo. And they go to, I like am hearing it in my head, but I'm not like hearing the actual words. Oh, welcome to Something Island. Yeah, he's done so many Scooby-Doos though.
If you haven't, if you don't recognize him, he's also, like, you would know him from the Scream movies and stuff. He was one of the bad guys in Scream, but I would say my generation would really know him for, like, yeah, either Scream or Scooby-Doo. He plays Shaggy in the two live actions that came out in the early 2000s, and which are, like, the best Scooby-Doo movies, okay? Like, don't come at me for the animated ones, but I think the live action ones are some of the best Scooby-Doo movies, okay? Man, I'm like, I really like Scooby-Doo, but you know who's a bigger fan of Scooby-Doo? Jess. Jess is a bigger fan of Scooby-Doo than me, but, I mean, who doesn't love a good mystery story, you know? Like, I was really into Scooby-Doo and Nancy Drew. Oh my gosh, do you guys remember Nancy Drew? The teenage girl who will go solve mysteries and crime in her small local town. What's up with all these towns just having, like, random vigilante justice, you know? Like, I can imagine, like, some people wouldn't say I've lived in some small towns, but I personally think I've lived in a lot of small towns. And small towns as in, like, I don't know, a couple thousand people, like, maybe, I want to say where I'm at now is a million, close to a million. I'm so bad with numbers. But it's supposed to be, like, a very large city, even though I think it's kind of small. Like, you can get from one point in the city to the next in, like, 45 minutes with bad traffic, I would say. 20 with good. But anyways. Yeah, this is just a little chatty episode. We're just going to chat, talk, and catch up, guys. I know we spent, like, the first 10 minutes of this being, like, some random sidebar. But, I mean, hey, that's what the show is, right? But, yeah, I'm so excited for spring to be coming, guys. I am looking forward to getting back in the yard and start gardening. And I know I sound like, I don't know, a woman from the 50s where I was just like, I'm going to attend my garden this year. But you know what? Fuck it. I want to go back. Not really. Like, there's a lot of stuff I don't want from the 50s coming back here. But I mean, yeah, I would like to, you know, get to the point this year where I can, like, get, like, real good sized produce. Like, I was able to grow last year some tomatoes that were, like, a little smaller than my hand, like my palm. I would say maybe, like, 1-3 inches radius, maybe, on, like, a tomato, you know? Like, a good little chunk. But that's it. All my onions are garlic, were very sad and underdeveloped. And so, turns out there were some guys that I didn't harvest last year. And so they, like, sprouted this year. And so I'll actually get my first full season of onion and garlic planting, because apparently you gotta do it fucking year in advance. Ugh. Like, you're supposed to plant them, at least in my state, in October. And then you cover up their soil with either leaves or hay or nothing. I didn't cover them with anything. I just didn't realize they didn't root, you know, that go around. But yeah, they just went whoop. They just went dormant. And then by early this month, I would say, no, maybe even a little bit sooner, like, it was just some random warm day, and I went in my backyard, and I saw that they sprouted and have little leaves coming out of their little noggin. So I'm like, how exciting. And I'm hoping that with the garlic, I will be able to, like, have it grow and flourish to where I can get, like, the little chive stems, you know? It's like, it's the leafy part of the garlic. And they do, like, the little curly swoop. I think they're called garlic chives. So hopefully I'll get some to do that. But I don't know. I'm trying a lot of new stuff. What did we plant so far? I was able to do some early straight in soil planting with, I want to say there's, like, basil, chives. No, I don't think I planted chives. Basil, cilantro, carrots, lettuce. Did I plant lettuce? I want to say I plant lettuce. Lettuce. If you can tell me what movie that's from, brownie points to you, my friend. But yeah, and this year, I am adamant on starting a moon garden, but I'm going to cheat a little bit because I don't want to like necessarily start from like scratch, like doing straight up seeds for everything. I'm definitely going to buy some like already established plants and put them in the ground, but I am looking very forward to having a moon garden. And if you don't know what a moon garden is basically this garden that you purposely plant to like attract moonlight. Like you want soft light colors, like white flowers and like silver falls, which is like this vine. Can I say it's a vine? I'm gonna say it's a vine. Of like these really velvety soft like green leaves, and it's super pretty. I had some silver falls, but when I was going through my winter depression, some of my plants died on me, and that was one of them. So I'm like also trying to refix the jungle as I'm slowly buying new plants to replace all the dead ones. I'm usually a lot better with my plants, but like I was saying, you know, like winter depression, it's such a bitch, God. And you know, it's just like your day will be going fine, and then suddenly you get bit in the ass with some winter depression, and you just have to find a way to like get yourself back up. I saw this one video where it's just like maybe saying like maybe that maybe all like your depression isn't getting better because like all of your coping skills don't work for you anymore because you've changed as a person. So therefore now you got to change your coping skills. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that because it took me a long time to find my coping skills. And I didn't realize like kind of how slummy I was acting till I started like subconsciously started doing like all my comfort things. And my husband and I was like, why are you're like watching all, he wasn't like, why are you watching your shows? But it was more of like, have you noticed that you've been watching a lot of your comfort shows? One of them for me is Impractical Jokers. I freaking love that show. But once he pointed it out, I was just like, oh, okay, maybe I am doing that. But yeah, it wouldn't be nothing necessarily that like upset me or anything. It's just, you know, I don't, for being a winter baby, I don't do good in the winter. It's just, I like having the sun on my face and being outside and not dealing with the cold and the snow. It's just, not a winter person, you know? So I'm so excited for spring, and I'm so excited to be gardening and dealing with plants and stuff. It helps de-stress me from like school and all that, but it's not helping my plant stress. It's just a new type of stress that I'm seeking comfort in because school or something else, you know. But like honestly, I read this thing a while ago that's like, if you ever want to like feel like you need to like reground yourself or to have to be uplifted, is to like go touch dirt, not necessarily grass, like you can go touch grass, but like get your hands in the dirt, in the soil and stuff, and it will help like physically and emotionally like ground you a little bit better. And I think it's true, you know, like it definitely helps me, especially when I'm feeling like overwhelmed. I'm just like, I'm gonna go water the plants, I'm gonna go check on the yard, I'm gonna go repot something and stuff. And like dealing with like the plants is just, it just makes me feel good and so much better, you know? So like maybe you guys should try it. If you're like feeling down and your like old coping skills aren't working for you, go plant something. Whether it's a pot in a pot or like in your actual backyard and stuff, you know. Like I wanna say right now, California should be entering its also growing season. not too many are able to plant in March, but like come April, guys, like get those gardens a-growing. Yeah, that's my goal, is to make my garden very sufficient in like reproducing like food and harvest and all that stuff. Like I would like to just be like, oh, I need lettuce for the guinea pigs, I'm gonna go to the backyard and harvest my lettuce, you know, like, or go into my pantry with all this stored preserved food and just be like, haha, I don't need to buy it anymore. But I know that's gonna take a very, very long time, and I don't think I even have the land to do that unless I do hydroponic. Which, have any of you guys done hydroponic gardening or know what it is? If you don't know what it is, it's basically you're growing your food and vegetables in straight water, the solution that you make, that's instead of the soil, it's water, and you can do it in like these tall towers and stuff. Like some people even use like buckets from Home Depot and stuff to make their towers. And it's just like, you got like a strawberry pot. If you know what a strawberry pot is, it has like little open spots on the side. So it's like a whole bunch of those stack on top and it's filled with a solution. And you put in these roots and stuff. Like, I guess it's like a root starter, like, but it's like, you know, when you germinate a seed and it starts like producing a little root and then has some leaves. Well, that's what you're going to put into like these little opening slots and stuff. And then boom, and it like magically makes food. It doesn't magically, but like I will see some videos of people being like, this is what I harvest from my hydroponic tower garden. And it's just like insane. Some of the stuff they'll grow, like I've seen people pull out like these massive things of like bok choy and eggplants and peppers and what's it called, tomatoes, you know. But like, man, I'm just like, goals. I think I want like a hybrid of those, like whatever plants do really great in like hydroponic towers and stuff. Like I totally want to do that versus like, I don't think I would try to do like a carrot. I saw that you could do it with carrots, put them in a hydroponic tower, but it's, I don't know. I think I'd rather keep like the rooted vegetables, like carrots and potatoes, in the soil and stuff. But yeah, it's like a little lettuce, and I want to say there's like some celery people have grown in like hydroponic towers that came out massive. Yeah, I'm just like impressed. Science, you know, just like how far we come into like planting and gardening and stuff. It just makes me want to garden. So yeah, you know, gardening is something I really want to do. Also, I don't know if I mentioned it, but we have gotten a second skinny pig, aka a hairless skinny pig, and she is so cute. She's almost the exact opposite of Snowflake. She's this little chocolate chip with some pink, a little bit of pink spots on her ears, and like half of her face is split between like ginger fur and like a dark brown fur. And she's just so cute. And I'm now wanting to start a guinea pig farm. These skinny pigs are like taking over my life, guys. Like, I could just remember from earlier when I started the podcast and being like, I'm not gonna do pets. Pets kill me. Like, having allergies for pets is like a nightmare, and I do not want that in my home. And now that I found like a pet that isn't like $2,000 for being hairless, I'm just like so in love with these skinny pigs. They're just taking over my life, and now I want to basically make a whole little sanctuary for guinea pigs. Because they're just so cute. It's like, it makes me wish I didn't fight for so long to not have them, you know. Like, I'm also just surprised that to even find some, You know, I remember when I was talking about Snowflake to you guys on how we didn't really have any in my city and stuff. But now that we do, it's just like every paycheck I'm finding there should not go and like buy one. And like, you can't just like with dogs or even cats, you can't just like put the guinea pigs just straight together and be like, okay, be friends. Like, no, they have like a whole hierarchy with them and stuff. And one has to be like the dominant guinea pig, I guess. And our guinea pigs are still just like figuring out like themselves. Like Snowflake has made herself right at home. Snickers, on the other hand, it's taken her a little bit longer to like adjust, and we're just barely getting to the point where like, and they're making fast progress. Like when I say guinea pigs like take time to adjust, it could be like months. And Snowflake, well, she's right at home and very good about like cuddle time and doing some play. Snickers is not having that great of a time. Like she's still like, we're still trying to bond with her, and that can take a while. Bonding can take a really long time. And you know, like she's just like more reserve, I guess, than Snowflake. While Snowflake was ready to explore, like Snickers is just barely exploring her play area and stuff, and like starting to get used to like play and stuff. And she's a pretty young guinea pig and stuff, but yeah, it's taking her a while to get more comfortable in her home, I guess. Like she'd rather just hang out in her taco hammock. And now she's being a little bit more active. So we're hopefully, once she gets more settled into her environment, we can have their cages be by each other and they not show aggressive behavior, as in like eating their cage and like, I don't know, just like, we call it the jail yard, like their little play area. Because it was like a joke that my husband made of them like talking shit to each other in the jail yard. So when their players are like by each other, hopefully when they see each other, they're more curious and like about each other versus just like, come here, you, I'm gonna fight you. Because when like we're holding them and we're by each other, if they hear each other or like see each other, they'll like get mad sometimes. And so we're taking introduction really slow right now. And so the goal is to hopefully get them into the same cage, and then we can combine their players, and then they can have one big play area for them and have their own little beds in their cage. And my plan, personally, is once they're in the same cage and they love each other, we'll get another guinea pig, possibly a male. So they can have babies, and then I can have all the guinea pigs I want. I have to buy them. Oh my gosh, I'm just obsessed. I, for the first time ever, saw a video of like hairy guinea pigs, like baby hairy guinea pigs. And oh my gosh, they're like the size of Peeps, like marshmallow Peeps. And they're just these cute little things. Go look up baby guinea pigs. I wonder what. I didn't bother to for whatever reason, but I don't know what a baby skinny pig looks like. Baby skinny pig. Oh my god. Oh wow. Oh my god. Okay, yeah. So like a baby guinea pig is seriously, oh my god. Okay. So there's like three types of guinea pigs. There's the guinea pig that we know that's hair, and there's like short hair and long hair ones. Oh my gosh, the long hair ones are so majestic. They make me laugh. And I don't know if long hair and short hair have any like special names and stuff, but then there's the skinny pig, and there's another off species of the skinny pig, which is a Baldwin pig. A Baldwin guinea pig. And the skinny pig, what's special about them is that they get about the size of like a normal guinea pig, and they 95% like don't have any hair, but they have little fur on their nose and their feet and their little tushies. And so, like, they have little spots of fur and stuff. But a Baldwin one is smaller than a skinny pig, like a normal hairless skinny pig, and has absolutely zero hair. So they're slightly smaller. Not a huge difference, but it's like the adult is like size of an adolescent skinny pig, and like it's... I don't know, like, guinea pigs can get pretty big for it being, like, considered a small animal, but, I mean, granted, it's not a large animal to begin with. So, looking at these pictures, oh my god, like, there's just this tiny little one, and it's like, oh my goodness, they're just so itty bitty that I want to lose my shit. Oh my gosh, it's like the size of my palm. Not even that. It's like, ugh. Oh my gosh, this is what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my day. It's just like looking at these baby guinea pigs. Oh, it has a tiny body. It's such a big head. Guys, you need to go look this up. Oh my gosh, they are so cute. That one looks like a little speckle milkshake. I didn't need to see it being born though. I didn't need that picture. But like, ugh. Oh my gosh, there's this skinny pig that has a stuffy, and the stuffy is lettuce. Guys, get on the guinea pig game. Like, you guys are missing out. Guinea pigs are amazing. Don't be me and like fight it like, oh no, there's a website that's selling guinea pigs. Ah, see, I don't need to see this because I can't be buying all of them, you know, like I can't be buying more when my two can't fucking get along to begin with. Okay, I know that. I just want them so bad. I feel like this is what, like, first-time pet owners feel like, you know? Like, they just become obsessed with their little animal baby, and it becomes their whole world. Like, I just didn't totally get when people were like, I'll kill anyone for my dog. Because I'm just like, okay, an animal life should not trap a human's life. I think that's a bit excessive. And I just, like, I still don't fully agree with that, but I'm also just like, no one dare touch my guinea pigs. Don't come fucking with me when it comes to my skinnies. Like, I like kind of get a little bit more, but I'm still just like, And like, they're just so funny. They're so cute. I love them so much. But yeah, do you guys have any like small animals? Like, what type of pet do you guys have? And do you think like the pet reflects the owner? Like, when you hear someone say like, oh yeah, I have a cat, well, and then you're just like, yeah, that makes sense, you're totally a cat person. Or I have an iguana, you're like, yeah, that really weirdly makes sense that you have an iguana as a pet. You know, do you guys believe in that stuff? I feel like it's kind of true. Like, I feel like there's definitely some people where, like, their pets are, like, them in animal form. Like, it's usually a cat or a dog owner that has, like, the same personality as their pet. But, yeah, it's kind of, like, weird to be like, damn, you really found, like, your other half via animal. But, yeah, I wonder if I seem like the type to own a guinea pig, but... yeah, but you know, sorry for this episode being so short. There's actually a little bit more to this episode, but when going to edit and save it, it got lost. So I think that's just my sign to cut it here, I guess. I don't know. yeah, but I promise there'll be a much better and funner episode next week. But thank you so much for sitting and catching up with me for a little bit. Man, I'm really sad that last little chunk just like blooped out of existence. Maybe I need to go back to bed. but yeah. Please rate, like, share the podcast with anyone you know. It all is very much appreciative. Follow the podcast on Instagram at sidebarpodcast505. And as always, drink responsibly and have a drink with me next time. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.